Well, there certainly is a rapid response force. I'll take it a step further. It's called a tailored FEST, F-E-S-T. And it's, I wish they wouldn't deny stuff that's actually publicly available if you know where to look for it. It's a force that, in case of any nuclear incident or any other terrorist or terrorist-related incident, the men and the women, I assume, who work on it include not only State Department counterterror people, but also CIA and FBI and special operators. It's a unified team. They have to report within 4 hours of a crisis to Andrews Air Field and be sent on their way. And so they were sent. There was a report that turned out to be aborted about some nuclear incident, probably a missing nuke in Pakistan. And we're always, this is a super worry for the United States of America, and always has been.
I did wonder about that, actually. There seemed to be, like, I wasn't sure whether that's the team then that picks up a missing weapon, or the one that seizes as much of the arsenal as possible, which seemed to be another group.
That's a standby group that's been there for a long time. I really don't know for sure, but 8 years ago I wrote about another group in the New Yorker right after 9/11 that was set up in the late 90s in the Pentagon. So there's at least two groups that are involved, and I think there's probably a separate group in the Department of Energy that also does stuff. So we have a lot of groups that have responsibility in case of a nuclear crisis. The group that went to Dubai that didn't go in was a special group run out of the State Department. The group that I'm writing about that's on standby basis, that's I think is basically in country, whether it's in Islamabad or in the embassy or where, this is a standby group that's mission is in case of trauma inside Pakistan, and we're not talking about the Pakistani Taliban taking over, that's not going to happen, but basically in case of a mutiny is the worry we have, realistic or not, they're there in case the Pakistanis want backup. They can say to us, we need help. And that was very important to us. Because why? Because we take that security and we take it to India, and we say to the Indians, we are in, we have some access. We can guarantee you we can control events. Get your troops off the border with Pakistan so then the Pakistanis can take some of their divisions off the border with India and fight in Waziristan and Swat Valley.
There's one other impression you get from reading your article there, which will make sober reading as Obama's trying to decide on troop levels in Afghanistan and an escalation in troop levels. What the military think about the consequences of that?
Yes, well, there you go. You don't have to think hard. The consequences of the increasing pressure on Pakistan to take action in Waziristan against their own fellow Pakistanis, there could be a blowback on that. One of the consequences you see, there's bombs going off every day. And one of the more frightening things about it is some of the bombs, for example, they attack the equivalent of the American Pentagon and the headquarters of the Army in Rawalpindi. And they also attacked the general on the street, obviously knowing where he was going to go, where he was going to be, and obviously they had inside information to get so deep inside the army headquarters of the Pakistani army headquarters. So clearly there's a fifth column, if you will, there's an element inside the military that is capable of helping jihadists or revolutionaries or terrorists. I'm not sure that everybody who's doing the bombing is necessarily a Taliban. They could be Pashtun. And one of the things is how little we really know. That's always, as you get into it, how little we really understand about what's going on.
But when you talk to U.S. officials, though, I mean, is there a sense of confidence that they can keep all of this in a box somehow, or is there some sort of sense of fear about the uncertainty in dealing with this entire region with all these different variables and power interests?
I can tell you at the bottom, any prudent American planner would have to say, you know, the chances of, let's say, somebody grabbing a nuclear warhead who knew what to do with it, you know, except to eat it, are very slim. But even if it's very slim, the consequences of that are so enormous. You have that game. You know, there was a wonderful book written by Ron Suskind in the American Journal. It's called The 1% Solution. He wrote about the 1% Solution. And as much as I can't stand Richard Cheney, and I can't, his politics, that is, I don't know him personally, he worried about the 1% chance of something happen. My own guess is the bombs are safe right now. But that was what I thought before this last wave of terror, this last month. And so now I'll tell you, nobody wants to see some group of people, you know, it's not a question of the Islamic bomb that fear, that's long gone. But nobody wants to see somebody whose interests are not in creating chaos in the world and chaos for Americans to get a hold of a weapon. If the chance is even minute, they have to plan for it. And that's really all this is. And by the way, all these denials to the contrary, in researching this, I found at least two places where the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mullen, publicly spoke about the cooperation. In one case, he talked about, we've been working for 3 years, and the Department of Energy has been deeply involved in assisting them improving security. It needs to get better, he said at another point. So clearly, this is an overwhelming issue for us. And clearly, the truth is, the story I wrote is really far less radical than you think. It's just something that nobody can talk about publicly.